This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning on a Tuesday. I'm Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Heather's back after a birthday weekend.
Yeah, feeling old.
Our middle-aged co-host.
I know, I don't feel old at all.
That's a tough weekend.
Yeah.
It's good to come sliding in.
Mm-hmm.
It means you got the most out of your weekend, but...
We had a blast. It was so much fun. It's different traveling with children and two dogs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're just parenting somewhere else, but with a whole lot of crap. Like,
you take all their furniture with you.
You take everything you own in a car and unpack it, repack it.
You take a bed. You take something for them to sit in to eat.
You do.
You take everything. And then you probably had dog beds too, right?
We did not.
Oh, they just sleep on the
They're
wherever.
Good. They can sleep wherever, yeah. But we still brought like a huge thing of dog food. Instead of like measuring out each... We traveled with our house and parented somewhere else. But it was fun nonetheless. Like, we had a great time.
And how did Sunday go?
What do you mean Sunday?
The big birthday.
Oh, the actual birthday.
No, we celebrated more on Saturday than Sunday because we knew we were going to start packing up and heading home Sunday. But it went great. Everything went well, Didn't wake up with any more, aches and pains.
Felt
good.
Hey, and getting older beats the alternative, right?
So it sure does.
There you go. We did say 40 is middle-aged on Friday.
I agree with you.
Okay. People said refer to your coworkers as middle-aged, but I said, you agree.
Okay. I agree with you.
Okay, good.
I disagree.
See? I mean,
it's in the range, but I don't necessarily know that.
I hope it's not. I hope I live to 100.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. The average lifespan is like, I'm like
70s,
halfway to my death. Like, it's crazy.
I didn't put it that way, but sure, that's
halfway.
One way.
Well, if I live to 80, I'm halfway there.
Can. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so when you put it that way, you're halfway to...
All right. I wasn't going to say anything about this, but I felt this pre-show when it came up. I think collectively hung up on number. Like, I really don't care how old I am.
Oh, well, I don't either.
I just don't care. I can't control it.
Well, when somebody has a birthday, it's always the focus is on the number.
Yes, it
and
is.
And so we're trying to figure out all of those different, what does the number mean? And ultimately, the month number doesn't mean anything until it's the final number.
Right.
And then you're like, he was great till he was 49.
You don't know the final number. Yeah.
No, I know.
No,
we'll be talking about the final number.
Right.
Yes. Oh, Tom. Tom was really good up until 53.
Wow.
I don't know how old you are now.
I got a couple years left. Trying to say something here?
No. I used 49 for myself, and that's coming up in January. My goal is 100, and so I'm not yet halfway there.
You're close.
I'm close, yes.
But you're not.
Yes. Yep. But I still have a half century after that.
I know. And that's what's really cool, right? And we were talking about it before of like, okay, the first 40 years of my life, you got the first 5 years you don't really remember, right? Like, you live 5 years and don't have a ton of memories.
What is your first memory?
Probably four or five.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember going to high school. Yeah.
That's 5 years of you don't even recall. So I've got, hopefully, unless... Hopefully I'll remember all of these ones. So I still have, hopefully at least 40 more years.
And they're adult years, right? So you have you have more say in what you're able to do, not do. There's obviously limitations, but like at 7, right? You're told to go to school. And
what to eat.
Yeah. Eat your vegetables. No, Mom! Peas.
So anyway, we have a lot to do today. It's a Tuesday, which means two Grand Slams, 7:25. It's a Tuesday, which means Dan Campbell gets some of his thoughts after a dominating win against the Dallas Cowboys, but obviously the fallout of the Aiden Hutchinson injury. We'll talk to Dan at 8:02. We have college football rankings, courtesy of Greg Hargrave, coming up at 6:35 this hour. What's he going to do with undefeated teams like Pitt, Indiana, and Army, will they make an appearance in the Greg Palm top 12? We'll find out. And clearly some shuffling going on after a crazy weekend. John, we had comments from Scott Harris yesterday, a press conference to kick off the offseason. We can play some clips for people. What we're going to hit on, at least out of the gate here, is quotes about spending. Everybody wants to know. Quotes about Javi Baez. You might not want to know. And Torkelson, among other things.
Okay.
So it was like 40 minutes yesterday. And I know some of it was played on the station yesterday, but none of this while we were on the air. We get a chance to play it for people and react to it. And of course, the phone number 248-539-9797. If something sticks out to you, something that you want to talk about.
Well, and he was sitting there, what, next to AJ Hinch too, right?
Yeah.
AJ didn't say a whole lot.
Said a couple things.
Yeah, but it was basically, I think that was the, I'm going to bring my buddy.
He did crack a couple jokes at AJ's expense. I think one of the last questions was about the overall spend in the organization. And, you know, Scott highlights this, this, and of course, our highly paid manager. And AJ goes, I'm not touching that one.
Yeah. So, which, again, glad they extended him after, before this past season, because he is now underpaid. Whatever they're paying him is not enough.
One could say he was like AJ Hawk on those Aaron Rodgers appearances on the Pat McAfee show.
Another AJ. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. With the camera just only focused on his face, that fills the entire screen, and he just kind of stands there and nods.
He does have a big football head, AJ Hawk.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to some of these clips and some of these quotes. Scott Harris, let's start with the spending question and whether or not they will be spending more.
Yes. Yeah.
Reasonable answer.
Yeah. And obviously he's talking about if there's a guy that can help us and he costs money, that's free agency.
Yeah.
If it costs money and prospects or just prospects, you're talking about making trades. So I am hoping that they are looking across Major League Baseball, guys that are free agents, because a free agent class, I know there's a Juan Soto, and you could say instantly, yeah, that makes you better. Will they be willing to spend what it would take to get Juan Soto? Would Juan Soto even want to come here?
I don't know that he would. For sake of argument, I would hope that you would be pursuing any and all baseball players that make this team better and be willing to pay the freight to get them because, as he said, if they can help the team, that they will have the blessing to spend that money to go pursue the player. So Alex Bregman's a third baseman. It's not Juan Soto, but familiarity with AJ, right-handed bat. Mm-hmm. Scott said they want to add a right-handed bat, starting pitching. That answer is encouraging, right? I would say on surface level, that's encouraging, that they will have the oomph, whether it's trading their own prospects or spending money, that they will upgrade the team. Now, when he says they don't chase a payroll threshold, I understand what he's saying. They're not going to spend to hit a number.
Right.
And I would acknowledge when you have a team as young as they do, inherently it's going to be low. Lower. So fine, I don't want them to spend for the sake of spending. But because they have so many players who are cheap, they should be spending or be willing to spend big chunks of money on good baseball players this offseason.
They're because they have managed their budget the way that they have, they've developed some prospects. There is a core that is cheaper right now. When that happens, and you know, whether it's a rainy day fund or however you want to say it, you can at some point splurge a little bit. And I'm not saying recklessly.
No.
But you can pay for somebody that would be more expensive if you had other high-priced or even middle-priced players on your roster. They are on the lower end because of, and I know Cole Keith is signed to a contract. He was signed in the minor league, but it was one that is more than most players on the team.
And it just needs to be said, they shouldn't spend recklessly on bad baseball players. They should target good baseball players, and I would argue be willing to overpay them because that's what free agency is, given the fact that they are so low in the current payroll.
Right.
John, teams that win the World Series in the wild card era, 1995 to today, 26 of the 29 teams were in the top half of opening day payrolls. That doesn't mean you have to be 1, 2, or 3.
Right.
But you got to get out of the bottom 10, and you got to get back up to the middle class of baseball. Once you're in the middle class of baseball, you are a real World Series contender. So if their offseason is Canna and Urshela, and their payroll's still below average, we're going to have some problems. If it's Alex Bregman, Willy Adames, you know, Jack Flaherty, 2, 3 of these guys that really give them a puncher's chance, whoever they target, whoever they identify to be a good, there are good baseball players available, yeah, trades in free agency, got to make it happen.
I look at this as the talk is nice, and it gives us some discussion, and hopefully our fans are listening, and they want to get in the discussion as well. But for me, it's more, I need to see action.
Yes.
I need to see what it is that you're going to do, and with some guys on the roster, but also what it is, if you're going to talk about the foundation and building it, and when that's there, the finances will be there. I need to see it. When you come out and you talk about, you know, hey, if there's a guy that makes us better, then we will pursue him. We need to see it. It needs to be put into practice.
You need to pursue them and, wait for it, land them. They have to play in this Tigers lineup and be part of this thing next season. Pursuit is great.
Well,
what I don't want is that they got into the conversation and then balked at a couple million dollars for a team that is right among the least spending teams in baseball. Like, throw it around a little bit. Well, all right, you're a billionaire with a B. Throw it around a little bit.
I know we got to get to break, but it's there are some guys that you're going to pursue and you might even overpay.
Sure,
and they may ultimately say, I don't want to play in Detroit. I don't want to play for whatever reason. It could be the weather. It could be maybe they don't like AJ Hinch. I don't know why, but maybe there's somebody on the team that they don't like. There's some situation that you just can't pay enough for.
Texter says, guys, in a roundabout way, he basically said he's willing to do what it takes, but don't expect certain things. Yeah, it was intentionally vague. Less so when it came to Javi Baez. You're going to want to hear it coming up next. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you, just like they did for me, and build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, we started playing some quotes from Scott Harris. He was at the podium yesterday, press conference, to set the tone for the offseason. Said that, yes, they have money to spend, and they will if it makes sense on players that they have conviction with. Yeah. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Like, okay, well, they have conviction enough to add, you know, sizable additions, whatever. Let's play the Javi Baez quote, because we're already getting ticket takes about it. People please did not like what Scott had to say about Javi Baez moving forward.
Goose Fraba. I think the whole, you know, hip rotation, opening his hips, there's a lot of qualifiers in there. So he has some outs. And he could simply say in February, March, you know what? We're not seeing the results of the surgery that we needed to see. So we are moving on from Javi Baez. There's plenty of those qualifiers in there. There's for a lot of the questions he was asked about guys on the roster. There are a lot of qualifiers in there that allow him an out, but also allow him the reasons, planting the seeds for why they would still be here.
You question someone's baseball acumen if they think Javi Baez has a role on a team with playoff aspirations, given the Javi we saw both last season and the year before that. Two straight seasons with an OPS in the 500s for a team that already struggles at the plate. Does not have a role on this baseball team. So
let me ask you this.
Scott said a lot yesterday. That one, I think you lose credibility with people when you start talking about, well, he was one of the, how many years ago and for how brief a moment was he one of the best shortstops in baseball? The Tigers version of Javi Baez is overpaid and underperforming, and it's not just about the hip this last year. So don't, like, people are smarter than that.
Does hip rotation, does that affect your vision?
Pitch selection.
Yeah.
Like, swing and miss. He opened his press conference with one area of the organization we've improved in a lot of areas. One is we still need to be better with owning the strike zone at the plate. Right. Well, the villain of that goal is Javi Baez, and you're like, well, there's a role for him. We're paving a path for him to be here.
If there's a poster boy for why you just don't throw money at a need, it's him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't fit what they do. He had 180 plus strikeouts after the year before they signed him. That was the Avila way. That doesn't fit the approach the Tigers have to the plate. It makes no sense. The only reason they're giving him a chance is because of his contract. You have to pay him no matter what. Swallow the pride.
It's not even his pride. It's not even his pride. He didn't sign him.
It's not his pride.
I know.
Right? It's the organization's pride. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Let him go.
He's going to get paid either way. He's getting paid either way. What's best for the baseball team? That's Scott's job. What's best for the baseball team?
There's people that were upset that he was in the dugout the last three games. Guess what? They went 1-2. They only lost one game when he wasn't there. So, you know, there just seems to be bye.
Yeah.
A platoon of Sweeney and Baez is on the table. Wonderful.
I think I said to you guys this in my email last night. If there's any version of this team with Javi Baez taking at bats, I don't know how serious I can actually take what they're doing. His credibility will be in question, because if he talks about valuing the strike zone as a hitter, and then he comes out yesterday and says that's one area where we're not accomplishing our goals. Maybe they're better, but they're not where they need to be. If he is still on the roster, Then at least say there's a spot for him on the roster. He's going to be number 25, but he's never going to see the field.
Yeah, but then you're wasting a spot because
I'd rather waste a spot and pay him, because the guys like him in the locker room. Oh. They think he's a great guy. All those things, that's fine, but don't put a bat in his hands.
Real quick, the note on Torkelson, he's just said, speaking of giving himself outs, Tork is one of several players who needs to have a big offseason. No secret, he had a turbulent year and acknowledged first base is an area where they, quote, need to improve overall production. He left himself open where Tork could be here.
Yeah.
He also put it out there pretty harshly that Tork, yes, needs to be better. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, the second suspect accused of killing a 72-year-old man in his Rochester Hills basement on Friday has been arrested, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Police have not released this guy's name, but they did say he was taken into custody in Plymouth on Monday afternoon. Yeah, John. Roaming
really?
Around your streets. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's believed that both suspects, the first guy was actually taken into custody in Louisiana. So he kind of got out of here pretty quickly. They say that they targeted and followed this victim home from his Hamtramck jewelry store. And if they didn't follow him home, it's believed that they at least found his address online. And it was a targeted attack, right? You heard the story. Like, they went there the night before, weren't allowed in the house, so they came back the next day. This story was a real big topic of conversation for us on our trip, because as soon as I saw the article pop up, this was in my old stomping grounds, right?
Yeah.
Like, I had friends who lived on Newcastle. Like, it's right behind Adams High School. I had friends that grew up right in this neighborhood.
And then when you say he's arrested in Plymouth, that's where I live. And it was a topic of conversation for us too. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to the kids. Lisa has, we've talked to each other. If I'm not home, because we have so many of these stories, no one is answering the door. We have the doorbell camera for a reason. Use it.
Yes. You know, it's a great reminder to everyone. I was reading a lot of comments on it, and people were like, well, I would never have opened the door. And I felt like it was a little victim blaming. Like, okay, I agree with you. I would never have let these people in my house. I don't even answer the door. I am like, the doorbell rings and I'm hiding, right? Like, I just don't let anyone know you're home. But there are people who are who do, like, oh, this guy seems legitimate. Like, he's got the clipboard with all the documents. He's wearing the vest, right? Like, well, what if there is a gas leak? I don't want my house to blow up. People can be very convincing, and I don't blame this guy for opening his door at all. But it is a good reminder to just be safe. The Michigan State game will be at night. Kickoff will be at 7:30 Saturday, October 26th at the Big House. It will be the seventh night game of the season for the Spartans. They haven't played a day game since September 14th, and it will be the third consecutive season that Michigan and Michigan State have played under the lights.
I hate this with an absolute passion.
Why?
Well, because I hate night games, and I just don't like... I'm not a big fan of this one being at night either. It's just, it's all day long. Put this one at noon, put it at 3:30. And and the Big Ten is doing no school any favors, because even on the same week, you've got Washington traveling to Indiana. Now, I understand it's all about TV ratings. And Michigan State is always one of the higher rated college football games. It's on the Big Ten Network. They get a chance to get a lot of eyeballs. Washington, West Coast team, traveling to the Midwest, they're playing at noon, which is 9 a.m. Washington time.
Yeah, here's my thing. I like night games. I just wish they were reserved for good matchups. Neither of these teams deserve a night game this season.
No, I agree. But it's still going to be one of the higher rated games. It's probably the highest rated game the Big Ten Network will have this year.
And that's Heather with the news. Speaking of college football, we've got the top 12 from the brain of Greg Hargrave. The playoff rankings are next. It's 97-1.
Hey, about a year and a half ago, we put a new roof on the house. We called Rapid Roofing, and it was great from start to finish. And as we think about possibly moving or selling our house, one of the great value adds is the fact that we have a beautiful, very good new roof. It adds so much value to our house. Plus, it protects my family. It protects the biggest investment that we have. Rapid Roofing, Mike Beattie, they've done a great job. They came in one day, roof off, and repairs, roof on, cleaned up, and gone. If you want the same service, you want the same value, it's 888-360-ROOF. That's for Rapid Roofing, 888-360-ROOF, or you can find them on the web at rapidroofing.com.
Some big wins in the Big Ten. Some undefeated teams make it a case to make the top 12. Greg, take it away.
All right, not going to be a whole lot of changes here. Some minor changes from last week. A lot of the teams might have been closer than we thought, but they did come out victorious. So let's just start with the bottom four. Number 12, new friend, same as an old friend. We're going to go Clemson. I know, Jim, you've been begging for this for a while. Offense is rolling since that Georgia opener. 48.5 points per game since then. That begs the question, what the hell was the Georgia game? Is it a one-off? Are the Bulldogs a bad matchup for Clemson? Is this Georgia's 100 game where they could prep a whole camp to play that game? They are good in games like that, similar to what old Nick Saban Alabama teams were. Number 11, Tennessee. Rocky game against Florida, but a win against a pesky rival. And look, Florida is now in pesky category with the SEC. They got another one coming up. They are playing Alabama. They do have them at Rocky Top.
That's a huge game this week, but not the Greg Baum game of the week.
That's all I have to say about that game.
Okay. That's all I have to say about that.
Number 10, Texas A&M. Coming off a bye, they're still sitting at 5-1. Good chance to stay here against an SEC bottom dweller at Mississippi State. Number 9, Notre Dame. Same as last week. Ho-hum win against Stanford, 49-7, no big deal. As long as teams ahead of them lose, and they will eventually lose, as long as we get this season progressing, big-time matchups are happening, teams go on the road in conference play, they're going to move up ahead of those teams. And with the win against Texas A&M, A&M is going to kind of keep pushing them up because of that head-to-head win and them having both an identical record.
Makes sense.
All right, we're cruising along here. Let's go middle four here. Number eight, BYU. Keep racking up wins in a chaotic Big 12. Tipsy-turvy, Utah, not what we thought. Okie State, who BYU has this week coming into Provo, they look busted. Ali Gordon not having the season that we expected out of him. Good win against Arizona. Remember, they clocked Kansas State, a game most of us didn't see. Good win for BYU. Keep stacking up those wins. They're undefeated 6-0.
And they should have that opportunity to keep stacking wins. Okie State, UCF, Utah doesn't seem to be as difficult as it did before. Kansas, Arizona State, Houston, like they've got the schedule to rack up some wins.
And the team to do so. Number seven, Georgia. This does not look like the prince that was promised. 31 points allowed against Mississippi State, 41 points allowed versus Bama 2 weeks before that. Look, if they go to Austin and get run out by Texas, they are no longer getting the benefit of the doubt of, oh, well, it's Georgia, rank them high.
They should fall out of Greg Palm if they lose this week. I don't know if that will happen, but that's how I would feel about
it. And we shall see. Obviously, it's not in a vacuum.
True. Depends how it looks.
Absolutely.
Not game of the week?
No. Well, the way he does game of the week is a game that could kick somebody out, and I don't know if he's willing to kick Georgia out necessarily. All right, number six.
All right, Trixie Hobbits. Alabama, still sitting at 5-1. Yes, it was close against South Carolina. They are at Tennessee in the Greg Palm game of the week.
Okay. All right.
I get a lot of questions why a particular game is the game of the week. What we're looking for is leverage games. Are they in or out of the playoff? Are they in or out of getting into the conference title game? And with that comes the possibility of a home playoff game. Both of these teams have an unexpected road loss. The loser of this game is out of the SEC race. The winner has a leg up on the other in a college football playoff spot. Will be interesting to see how this one goes in Rocky Top. Number five, Miami. Coming off a bye after that comeback win at Cal. The best data point of the season for them might be upcoming. It's at Louisville, and that's a shame. The schedule that Miami has underscores the challenge of expanded conferences. There's four teams in the ACC that are ranked in the top 25. Miami, Pitt, SMU, Clemson. Miami doesn't play any of the other three. And amongst those four ranked teams I just mentioned, only two of the possible six games that those teams can play against one another are being played. It's Pitt playing both Clemson and SMU. So what's that mean? Comes as ACC championship time, we might be dealing in some weird tiebreakers going on here. We might have a lot of undefeated teams or a conglomeration of one-loss teams. Guys, we are going to be begging for divisions to come back and sort this out with common data points and having the two teams face in the conference title game. All right, top four. I think you all know who the top four teams are going to be, but it's just the order that's going to be tricky. So number four is Penn State.
Really? They don't move up at all.
We will get to why they are staying here in a second, but it's a solid, tough, entertaining win at USC. They were down by two touchdowns at the half. To update that Big Ten West Coast teams against the classic Big Ten teams home road splits, it's 10-3 now across the conference. Two of those losses, I should say, are teams winning at UCLA. The third is what Penn State did to USC on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Ohio State. Why are they moving only down one spot? Look, they lost a 50-50 game against the number two, at least in the polls, unbeaten team on the road. Look, the situational football is questionable. We all know about the clock thing that happened at the end of the game. But what I found interesting in this game is that Ohio State never went for two to go up a full possession and a full score. Oregon's last field goal could have been for the tie. Mm. Or, we know how Dan Lanning likes to play, you make them think about going for it on fourth down. Maybe you stop them there, gives them more opportunities to win. That the fact it was always that extra point out there was really curious, and that Ohio State didn't try to make that up.
Right, and is Ryan Day, is he in James Franklin territory where he just can't win against top five opponents? Because generally, he has been the higher ranked in the top five.
Good point.
Yet he can't find a way to win. James Franklin just can't find a way to win against anybody in the top 10.
Yeah, but Penn State's undefeated and Ohio State lost.
Well, Ohio State lost to a
I know.
That's a 50-50 game.
This is the classic
they
debate.
They easily could have been number two.
I 100% agree with you.
Okay. Hey, they're going to play each other. We'll settle it on the field.
You're right.
That's the whole point of this
season.
And
it'll be in Happy Valley.
Yes.
And then your number one team?
I got number two, Oregon, with Penn State's win over USC. That win by Oregon over OSU was a huge Big Ten leverage game. They have no roadblocks between them and Indy. Now, whether they win the game is up to them. They got to actually do it to get that home game. But they're getting the full Big Ten experience this week at Purdue and ranked number two, and that's been trouble for Big Ten teams.
Oh, yes, and yours truly will be there.
All righty.
I'm gonna stop by because I'm taking Lucy to the game on my way to Champaign, and since that game is at 3:30, myself and Doug Karsh, little road trip, stopping to see Lucy, going to catch the Purdue-Oregon game Friday night.
The John Jansen game of the week.
Yes. Nice. Finally, number one, we'll go Texas. Look, they made a historically chaotic rivalry game boring. An experienced gel offensive line in college football is irreplaceable. That's what Texas has. Mm-hmm. Look, they'll get challenged one day, but for now, they are mopping up everybody.
They are, and that's where I look at Texas and say they are an absolutely dominant team in this year of college football because they have the best offensive line. They control the line of scrimmage. They control the tempo of the game, which is exactly what they did against Oklahoma. They controlled the tempo of the game.
And one thing about Texas, I don't want to discount them for being dominant and saying, well, who have they played? Well, who have they played? Well, they're not challenged. Well, they're not challenged because they're really good.
Right.
So we have three of the top four teams from the Big Ten. It's very interesting to see how this has played out. I'm not sure the SEC should be guaranteed four or five spots given some of the struggles we've seen from the Bamas, the Georgias, the Tennessees.
Oh, you don't think
world.
Their schedule is tougher than a Big 12 schedule or an ACC schedule? We kind of went over that.
I think it begs the question you've asked. Who's actually good? And I don't know if it's by default that all the SEC teams are good.
But the next question then, is it good for the college football fan? Because with NIL and the transfer portal, now you have the talent
spread out. That's good.
I agree. But I don't know that we're going to see, like Texas, if they run the table and they are this year's national champ, are they going into next year, preseason polls, they'll be there again, but they're going to lose offensive line. They're going to lose some defensive line. They're going to lose some receivers, but they'll have Manning as their quarterback, who we've already seen is really good.
Just what we're setting up to see here, guys, is what you argued about before the season. Right now, it's if Georgia loses to Texas, you got two lost Georgia, probably out of the SEC championship game, and then you'll have one lost Clemson, who Georgia beat. They're pitted against each other here. Right. And I think, you know, what if both lost one more game? Then it's two lost Clemson, three lost Georgia. Who do you pick?
You can leave both out.
And it wasn't just Georgia just to beat them. They stomped them.
Right. And this is what John was campaigning for before the season, that they're likely more SEC teams versus Jim is going with
the gold star. Everyone needs a star.
The less losses, though, potential conference championship game participant. Who deserves it?
But you do have to value head-to-head. In the specific instance of Georgia-Clemson, when both teams have losses, or in some cases losses plural, I do think head-to-head would have to be factored in.
I mean, Mr. Gold Star sounds like he wants to award a playoff spot
for
LSU or a team like that for participating in the SEC.
Yeah, I don't know who's the gold star in this.
I want to value a tougher schedule.
I want to value winning.
You want to
reward losers. You want to reward teams that lose games.
Again,
that's participation.
It's a tougher schedule.
But they lost.
All right, yeah,
so that's participation.
BYU in the SEC, what are they right now? You put BYU in the SEC, they're probably a three-loss team.
We can't do hypothetical. We can do what happened.
Well, we do hypotheticals. That's what we do.
And that is Greg Palm. It's 97.1.
We're talking about some great college football matchups. We're talking about parity in college football. We're talking about all of the great sporting events that the fall and the winter have for us. So why not watch them at a viewing experience built for sports fans? Dive into the best pool in history. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall high-definition screen at Stadium Swim. America's favorite place to watch all your sporting events, especially right now, football. Swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
He did add there will be external additions. That's Scott Harris, president baseball operations for the Tigers. Look, you can parse through a lot of what he said. I think there were some mixed signals. It's clear they didn't want to overpromise anything, but they did mention additions, right-handed bat, starting pitching. The Javi thing is where I think he's going to lose a lot of people, that he has a role on this team next season. There are outs if he's not healthy, of course, but their plan is for Javi to be on this team, and I think that is going to upset a lot of people.
It upsets me.
Me too.
Just thinking that that's a possibility.
I think that's their plan.
And I don't necessarily know what I expected him to say yesterday at this point, because season's just over. There's going to be plenty of time for them to craft a plan of how they want to say it. And I mean, they could be, hey, he's no longer the player we need him to be. He's no longer the player he was. So he's no longer a part of the Detroit Tigers. It's going to cost us a little bit. We saw the Pistons do it with a coach. So why can't the Tigers do it with a player?
Especially when they've been saving money the last few years as a below average payroll. Yeah, and I think when you see this city, and Scott addressed this, AJ's talked about this, when you see the city come out and support this baseball team, it's what it's all about. It's what motivates them. It's what it should be motivating the organization to continue to let the good times roll. And to be clear, they're going to make moves this offseason. I don't know the level of move they're going to make, right? I mean, there will be names that we'll talk about them.
Sure.
Will they be in on them? Will they be willing to pay the freight, the market rate to sign those guys? And if not, I question what they're doing with all of the savings. Because if it's not being reinvested into this baseball team, I think the fans are getting a raw deal. And that's what makes me mad more than anything else.
Yes, it's maddening. It's frustrating, especially with as fun as the last 2.5 months were, as exciting as it was. And even just looking at Comerica Park, by the end of the season, if you win, the fans will show up. They will be energetic. They will enjoy. They will spend money on tickets. They'll spend money on concessions, on paraphernalia. Like, they will support the team. You just got to win.
Scott Harris made a point of saying that they don't chase a payroll threshold, they chase talent. I understand what he's saying. My point would be those tend to go hand in hand, right? Good players make a lot of money. There are exceptions, Javi being one of them. But for the most part, the teams that win in baseball are the teams that have the most talent. That talent is highly compensated. Therefore, the teams that win the most are some of the highest paid teams. In fact, the stat we gave you, all but three teams since 1995 that won the World Series were at least top half. Not top five, but among the top 15 teams in baseball.
Right.
If you can't get to the middle class, you're not paying to play, you're not playing to win, nobody can take you seriously. And it doesn't have to happen this offseason. I don't want them to dump $100 million of annual payroll just to do it to hit a number. That's Scott's point. We can agree on that. But if the answer is, I can keep it low because we have so much talent. 2 of 23 runners in scoring position. You didn't have consistent hitting all year. In the biggest games of the season, it showed up in the biggest way. If you're not adding proven veteran bats and paying them, then you are not trying to do everything you can to win. And that gets called into question and should.
Pay good players.
Yeah.
That's it. Pay good players. Give us something to cheer about. Give us something to be excited about. We'll support the team.
Identify and pay good players. And they also mentioned trading for good players, which is the other way around it, yep. right? There are players out there who are not free agents who may be better than the free agent class. And Scott said that they are willing to, based on the way that they've developed their farm system, trade some of those prospects to get bats, which I thought was encouraging. Again, I think there was some mixed signals here. I don't think this was all doom and gloom. I don't think he made empty promises. I thought it was mixed signals.
Yeah, and I just want them to put their, you know, put their money where their mouth is. Yeah. If you're going to talk about the foundation and you make a run at the end of the year with all young players, and you know, and you could debate how they did it. Is it sustainable? No, it's not. Over 162. AJ Hinch even said that. So you've got to go out and add an arm along with Tarek Skubal. You've got to go out there and add bats along with Colt Keith and yes. Riley Green and Parker Meadows. Yeah. Like, they have some players that they have developed that they can complement.
I think where it gets not tough, but I think the reality of this is, are you upgrading at third base? What does that mean about your thoughts on Jace Young? Are you upgrading at first base? What does that mean about Torkelson? Are you upgrading at shortstop? What does that say about Trey Sweeney? And I think he could still have a role as a left-handed bat and utility infielder. My point is, they have to start making some decisions on these guys. It can't be they're all going to turn into all-stars. Our player development is unrivaled. Like, help them.
So, I mean, here's a theory. You go get yourself a third baseman that's a bat.
Yeah.
Jace Young goes to second. Colt Keith goes to first. Spencer Torkelson, sorry. I mean, you seem like a really good dude, but you just can't hit reliably. And so you're given the offseason because there's no expense in Spencer Torkelson. It's not like you're overpaying him or you're paying him anything. He's a guy that you can still wait on. And if he proves it, hey, great. It's a different case than Javi Baez. Javi Baez has proven that he can't and he costs too much.
Is Tork a guy that gets traded this offseason? Is Jace Young a guy that gets traded this offseason? If you're trying to upgrade at one of the corner infield spots, could one of them be used in a trade? Casey Mize, former number one pick. Again, the trade value is not going to be high on these guys.
No, but it another should all be on the table.
Yeah, another organization may say, if you bundle a couple of these guys, we believe we can unlock something, and maybe the Tigers have the opportunity to upgrade as well.
I think as a bat, you could say that, because they haven't really developed great bats. As a pitching staff, I think, you know, if you can't overperform or at least perform admirably with Chris Fetter as your pitching coach, because we've seen him work wonders with less talent, then I'm not sure there's another organization that's going to look at that and go, yeah, I think we could do more with Casey Mize.
We could knock out a phone call or two. We also want to mix in some Lions in the 7 o'clock hour. What got lost in the shuffle on Monday? We talked a lot about Aiden Hutchinson. There were other Lions storylines to get to. It's 97.1.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app